Erev Tov, we are learning Sukkah Daf Vav. Again, we're right, so we're learning the entire Mitzvah, the entire Daf. We're trying to catch up to the regular schedule, and by Sunday night, by Daf Zayin, or if we do full Daf Zayin as well, we will be up to date. We left off, we actually didn't finish Daf Hey yesterday. Very brief Chazara, which is very helpful for us to catch up. The whole Daf yesterday was discussing, we said a Sukkah less than 10 Tfachim high is possible. Sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim high. Less than 10 tefachim high is possible. The more I want to know, what's the source that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high? And the more it brings, we said it's going to be three answers. We only went through yesterday the first answer, and that is that the Shechina was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina doesn't overlap with where Makom Bnei Adam is. So Makom Bnei Adam is the bottom 10 tefachim from the ground up, and above 10 tefachim up is the place of the Shechina, and the source was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests the Shechina me'al from on top of the Aron. We know the Aron was six tefachim. The Aron was amav v'chetzi kremasai. Amav v'chetzi. If you go with six tefach amas, we'll get back to that again today later in the Hayim Beis. But amav v'chetzi is nine tefachim. If it's six tefach amas, so am and half is nine tefachim plus the kapiris on top of the Aron was a tefach. So 9 plus 1 is 10. And we know it's two separate rishiyas, so that was the source that a rishus is 10 tefachim, and therefore the sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. That was the Gemara's source. The Gemara was bothered, the fact that it's 9 tefachim for the Aron itself, that's good. 6 tefachim is no problem. How do you know the comparison is 1 tefach? We spent a lot of time yesterday figuring out what we compared it to. Ultimately, we compared it to the mezgeris, which was 1 tefach. So we said this too, the kapiris also was 1 tefach in height. That was the psukim give a description for the dimensions, the width and the length, but not the height. We learn from Mizgeres, that's a tefach. Okay. But the Gemara ended off with a question on Hamad Beis. Now, it was really not even at the midway point of the page. The Gemara asked, the Lechaira, very nicely learning from the Arain, the height of 10 tefachim, but maybe that 10 tefachim includes the schach. Maybe it includes the schach, meaning we're saying you'd have 10 tefachim of livable space and schach above that. Maybe if you learn from the Aron of the Kippuris is a total of 10 tefachim, and that includes the covering, so you'd only need, let's say, 9 tefachim of space, and the 10th tefach could be the schach. How do you know you need 10 tefachim of space underneath the schach? That's the Gemara's question. Let's go back into the Gemara, ask the question inside. Ask Gemara, that's the Gemara's question. How do we know that ten tefachim was the chalala of the empty airspace besides for the schach? Ema b'hadi schachem. Maybe it's including the schach. The first words of the lines are asara bar mischacha. It's about a third of the way down the page on Hei Amud Beis. So we're only about 12, 13 lines down, 14 from the top of the page. I believe this is what we got up to yesterday. If not, if that okay, so we'll do a little chazara. We'll do a drop of chazara. Elam Beis Elamim Gamar. Rather, the source for 10 tefachim is very similar, but it's also from the Aron that was there in the Beis Elamim in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara explains the first Beis Hamikdash. The Shem Melch B'Lashem. Right, David started. Shem Melch completed it. Shishim Am Arkev. Asher Am Rachbe. V'Shleishim Am Kamasai. The length was 60 amas. The width was 20 amas. The height was 30 amas. The main part we're going to focus on is the height. But just to explain, when we say the length was 60 amas, we know the length of the Harbaya of the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash was much bigger. It was 185 amas. The 60 amas referring to is the Ulam Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is 60 amas of length. Okay, that's not going to be our focus. Our focus is more on the next part, the height. The height was 30 amas. Okay, the height of it was 30 amas. V'tanya, uchsiv, and we learned, kaimas ha-kruv ha-chad aser v'ama, v'chein kruv ha-sheni. We learned about the kruvim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. The height of kruv number one was 10 amas, and the height of the kruv number two was 10 amas. They both were 10 amas off the ground. So do the math, simple math. If the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the height of that whole area, was 30 amas high, and the kruv was 10 amas high, so the kruv reached a third of the height. Okay, and here's the part that is going to help us get to the next level. Says the Braisa, the time we learned the Gemara brings the Braisa, Mamasita Beis Elamim, kruvim b'shlish abayis ehimdim. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Elamim means Beis HaMikdash. Just like in the eternal Beis HaMikdash, the kruv was a third of the total height, like we just pointed out. Mishkanami, kruvim b'shlish abayis ehimdim. So too, by the Mishkan, the kruvim was the third of the height of the Mishkan. How tall was the Mishkan? Black web, Sukkah Mechavish. We know the Mishkan was surrounded by Krushim, those Krushim beams. How tall the Krushim beams? What do you mean? The Gemara is going to be the next line. Those Krushim beams were 10 Tvachamai. 10 Amasai, 10 Amasai. So the base of the Mishkan is 30 Amasai. The Mishkan, the walls around the Mishkan, were 10 amas high. Now, what's a third of 10 amas? A third of 10 amas, well, more simply put, we've already discussed that the amma is 6 tvachim. Certainly amas abinyan, and that's considered binyan, the walls, are 6 tvachim. So if an amma is 6 tvachim, 10 amas is 60 tvachim, right? So a third of that is 20 tvachim. Very simple. So the kruvim have to be at a height of 20 tvachim. We already established, we spent a lot of yesterday explaining, how high is the aron and kodesh itself? The aron and kodesh itself was 10 tvachim, right? It was a amma v'chetzi, which is a total of 10 tvachim, including the kapiras. And the kruvim were on top of that. So if the kruvim were 20 tvachim high, if that's the height of the kruvim, that means the height of the kruvim was 10 tvachim. And that's what we're going to be learning from our din of schach v'sukkah. We'll see, it's going to be more clear in two lines. Says Gemara, Mishkan kam havi, how tall was the Mishkan? Esa amas is esa amas tall, 10 amas tall d'chsev, esa amas erech v'karish, like it says, the length of each plank on the walls of the Mishkan, each one of the planks that composed, there were many planks that composed the wall, each one of them was 10 amas tall. V'kam havi lei, so how big is 10 amas? She's the pushki. Pushki is a fancy way of saying tvachim, 60 tvachim. Tol se kam havi, how much is a third of the 60 tvachim? Esrim Paichri, 20 tvachim, 20 is a third. Okay. Dal asara darva kapiris. We're going to use what we learned already yesterday, that the 10 tvachim of the kapiris and the aron, get rid of that, meaning minus that. Pashla asara, you're left with the kruvim being 10 tvachim, 12 themselves, resting on the aron and being 10 tvachim above the aron. Says that's their height was 10 tvachim above the aron. Here's the part that we need. So, what's Shaykh Sukkah? Says Gemara Uksiv, it says about the Mishkan, about the Kruvim, for a Kruvim person can find the Mala, Seichichim bechanfeim al kapiris. It says the Kruvim, they spread their wings above, Seichichim, lashon of schach. They were Seichichim bechanfeim with their wings al kapiris, over the kapiris. We know the height of the Kruvim was a total of 10 fachim higher than the kapiris, than the Aron. And we call the wings that they spread over as a schach. We see schach as a shem schach when it's above 10 tvachim. That's our source. That sukkah needs to be 10 tvachim tall. Ask Gemara, same question as before, really. Where were their wings? If their wings were, who says their wings were even with their heads? Maybe the wings were, well, let's see. Ask Gemara. So, I skip one line. Kairach monasach alamal masar. You see that above 10 is called schach. Ask Gemara. Finu iloi rishayakami. Who says their wings were slightly above their heads? Their heads was the height of 10 tvachim, and the wings were above. So you see that tzchach has to be above 10 tvachim. Who says that's where the wings were? Maybe the wings were directly equal with their heads, and therefore it's included, our whole issue that we started off with, is included in the 10 tvachim. We're trying to prove that, how do you know 10 tvachim needs to be separate from the tzchach? You need tzchach above 10 tvachim, not including the 10 tvachim. Well, your source for the kruvim, maybe it's the same, there are answers, because if the wings were the same level as height as the head, it wouldn't say lashon of lamala. Says more of it. Which means the wings were above the head. Ask Gemara new. So what's above? Maybe it's far above, and maybe you need more than 10 tvachim. Maybe it's much above the heads. Miksiv lamala doesn't say lamala twice. It says lamala once. So we know a height that's right above heads, which the heads were 10 tvachim. That's sufficient. Just to make one point clear, I didn't speak it out before, but for the cheshbon, it wasn't really fully necessary. But we spoke out that in the Beis Hamikdash, the kruvim were 10 amas tall, and they were a third of the height. That means the kruvim in the Beis Hamikdash were resting on the ground. They weren't resting on top of the aron. Second Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have an aron. But even Beis Hamikdash, we had an aron, the first one, right? But the kruvim were resting on the ground, somewhere in the Kodesh HaKodashim, somewhere there near the aron, but they were on the ground. And their height was 10 amas, which is a third of the height of the Mishkan, which is 30 amas, right? In the Beis Hamikdash. In the Mishkan, the kruvim were on top of the aron. And our measurement was that it was seichin on top of the aron, Seichin over an area of 10 tvachim, and that's our source. Okay, that's a Geshmaka source. Here the Gemara asks what we asked from the Aruch Lenar yesterday. Here the Gemara asks itself. That's all a good taich if you hold that an amma is 6 tvachim. So amma v'chetzi, amma and a half is 9 tvachim, plus the tefach of kapiris, so the aron itself is 10 tvachim. And therefore, if the total height, including the kruvim's height, is 20 tvachim, and the aron's already 10, that means the kruvim is 10 itself, and therefore you have a right that sukkah, schach, is above 10. But if you say that an amma in the Beis Hamikdash, the amma of the, not the binyan, the amma of the kelim, like an aron, is only a 5 tefach amma, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so amma v'chetzi is how much? 7.5. If a amma is 5 tefachim, so amma v'chetzi is 7.5 tefachim. Plus a tefach for the kapiris, you're 8.5 tefachim. We know the height at the top of the kruvim is going to be a third of the total height of the Mishkan, which is still going to be 20 tefachim tall. So if that's 20 tefachim, and you're only minusing 8.5 for the aron and kapiras, that means the space that's being called schach is 11.5 amas, 11.5 tefachim, not 10 tefachim. So the Gemara is bothered. Kortar Meir, we're still stuck without a source. Says the Gemara, ha nicha, I said that opposite. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're stuck with that source. Hanich l'r Meir, it's good according to Meir to Amar kol amis hayibenis. According to Meir, all the amis in the base of Megiddush, side the binyan, the building itself, the structure, side the kalim, were all six tefach amis. Givaldik, your source is beautiful. You have a good source that the height of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. El the minimum height. El Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Amma shall binyan shishas tefachim. But according to Yehuda, says that the Amma of the binyan was six tefachim. He holds that the Amma of the binyan was six tefachim. That he agrees. However, v'shakelim chamisha, he holds the Amma when it comes to the kelim is only five tefachamas, which means the merchant lay out all the math first. We don't have to do any math ourselves. Michael Amemer, what are you going to say? What's the problem? Arma kavaris kama havilu? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Ammas of kelim are five tefachamas. So how big is the aron with the kaparis? Tami Opalga. It's only 8.5. 7.5 for the Aaron, 1 for the Kaparis, you're 8.5. Pashlu Chatsri Upalga, you're left with 11.5 of Tepach space from the 8.5 to the 20. Emesuka Adhavi Chatsri Upalga. So learn from here that Seichin, Schach, is when you're above 11.5, not above 10 Tvachim. So you're left without a source, Mara brings, and this is going to be opening for really what we're learning today, mainly as our today's daf, so to speak, as Davav says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yehuda Hilchus Gemara. It's a lachlo mesh b'sina. You're right. You don't have a source for the psukim. This is source number three. Remember, source number one was the aron. Source number two is the kruvim on the aron. Source number three is halachlo mesh b'sina. It's a mesira. That's what. Damar b'chiyav rashi amar rav shiurim. The dinim of shiurim of various sizes of shiurim of measurements. Shalom. What we're talking about. Rashi says shiurim of iser. That's what Rashi learns. Others discuss why is Rashi saying dafk shiurim of iser. Maybe she means shiurim of mitzvahs as well. To be a mitzvah. Okay, but shiurim. The dinim of chatzitza by a mikvah and the dinim of mechitza of walls, and that's the part that we need for us. Our sugya over here, the walls, well, how, what's considered a shear of a sukkah, all that is halacha l'mesh b'sinai. That is the source over here. Now we're going to spend the whole rest of the of davav now discussing these various ideas, whether shiurim halacha l'mesh b'sinai about chatzitza and about mechitza. Actually, towards the end, we will get to. About the fact that the last wall doesn't have to be a full wall, it could be just a tefach. We'll get there. Okay. Says the Gemara. Shurim, we're not going to speak out much outside in order to effort to catch up. We'll try to sprinkle in a little bit as we go along. Shurim deraisa ninu. Shurim are deraisa. Ask the Gemara, what do you tell me? It's lach mesh v'sinai. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. We're in Devarim, Perek Ches, I think it is. What does the pasuk say? Dechsev eretz chita v'sayra. It talks about the Zion, the seven, Zayaminim, the land of Chita, Vesaira, wheat and barley, Geffen, the vine, Tena, the figs, Rimine, the pomegranates, Eretz, Zeshem, and Dvash, a land of flowing of oil and honey. What type of honey, by the way? Date honey. That'll be relevant later. Not bee honey, date honey. Okay. But the point is, each one of these, we're going to darshan a different shear, a different halacha with shear. For example, Chita, wheat is the base of Menuga. Chita is relevant for the house of Tsaras, for the Neged Tsaras in the house, Nigi Batim. We know if the house has Neged Tsaras and it's taka a tummy tikka nega, everything in the house becomes tummy. The Kayin actually gives a commandment to the owner of the house, Upinos Abayas. The puzzle tells him to empty the house. Get your kalim out of the house first, because if I paskin tummy, until I paskin, nothing's tummy. Once I paskin tummy, all your kalim, especially the kalim that you can't be mitzar, they're all going to become tummy. So we know the basic thing that something is in the house becomes tummy, but the Mishnah is going to elaborate on that. We learn as follows. At the time, we look at the Mishnah. Nicholas the base of Manuga. One who goes into a house of Tiras, a house of Tiras. This is a mission, of course, in the Goyim. It's in the 13th bar. One who goes to the house of Tiras, Vakilav Aksefav, and his clothing are being carried on his shoulder, or his shoes and his rings are being carried in his hands. Meaning, the point is, all these things are being carried and not worn. What's halacha? Hu vehein to be miyad. He becomes tummy the second he walks into this house by his of Tiras, as do the Kalim. The Kalim immediately become tummy. However, if he's wearing them, then based on a pasuk, we'll explain in a second. Hayalavish Caleb top of vavim al. Finally, Hayalavish Caleb. If he's actually wearing the kalim, the sandlov braglov the tabaisav betzbaisav. If he's wearing the begadim, he's wearing the shoes, and his rings are on his finger. Then hutam yad, he's still tamim yad. The hain tahirim, but these garments are tar at shish b'teiachas pras. They're tar until he's there, the zman of achilas pras. Achilas pras means a half loaf of bread. What shayichas? Because the pasuk over describes, it says, va'eichel b'bayi sichabes. One who eats in such a house has to wash his begadim. It sounds like the begadim you're wearing have a little more of a dispensation until you eat there for a zman achila, the begadim don't become tummy. So if he's wearing them, then he has a zman of how long it takes to eat a half loaf of bread. What type of loaf of bread? Here the Gemara explains, this is what the word chit is coming to teach me. Only tummy if he waits there the zman of achilas pras, which is what type of half a loaf? Paschitim, wheat bread. Wheat bread is more is more, you know, people enjoy it better than past erim. So eat it faster. Mesav, while reclining, he's focused on eating. And eating it with a dip. So he's eating it focused on a proper way of eating bread. The amount of time it takes to eat a half loaf of bread, that's the Shia Bechilas Pras. Wheat bread as opposed to barley, leaning and with a dip. Point is, that's what we're darshaning from the word chita. We're darshaning from the word chita, that is a shear of tuma, of how long he has to be in the house for this clothing on his body to become tummy. By the way, what is the shear of Bechilas Pras? I'm sure you mentioned it in Yuma, about eating on Yom Kippur, about Pachas Bachas Makashir. I'm sure we mentioned it in Pesach, Gavi Matzah, Shear, Kiyos Pras comes up, you have to eat this Kesayit for the Kiyos Pras. So it ranges from as little as 2 minutes to as much as 9 minutes. Again, it could be a chumra, it could be a kula, right? For a mitzvah, to have as much as 9 minutes to eat my Shear Kesayit is a kula. To have to eat it within 2 minutes is a chumra. And on the flip side, for an Isser, for a person to be the star of his eating to one Shear, even though he says, of course, 9 minutes is a chumra. If your shear is only 2 minutes, it's a kula. The general, there's not a general consensus, but a lot of sheet to say one can rely. You should try to go the chumra both ways, 2 to 9, but one can rely when he needs to on 4.5 minutes. 4 or 4.5 minutes, that's the medium shear of a Yechiel's Pras. Seems to be an accepted psak. If a person can, usually when a person has to, let's say, break their fast on Yom Kippur Chlila, but it's because they have to have a certain amount of calories or something in their body, as long as they're drinking these types of nutritious drinks, as long as they can physically stay up to drink it, they can have a little, you know, shot glass, a little bit less than a shear, every 9 minutes,
yes.
And they're fine. What?
I did that.
Right, after your... Yeah. So you do it every 9 minutes, like this, you machmer for the bigger shita, and you do pachas pachas b'kashir, that's an example. Okay, Vaiter with shurim. Says the Saira. What's the shear of Saira barley in the town? Where's the relevant Saira? Famous din. Etzim kasera matama b'net magamasa. A bone of a dead person, which is, of course, the Tumas Mace, is matama maga, touching a masa. If one carries it, what's the shear? Etzim kasera. Even if it's as small as a barley kernel. But that's not enough of a shear of Tumas Oil. Tumas Oil, you need rave binyan or of minyan. Rave of the body's makeup, in terms of the binyan of a person's body, or rave of the number of bones in the body. Okay, but the point is that for magamasa, the shear of barley kernel is enough for tuma. That's what Saira is referring to in that pasuk. What's the shear of Geffen? By the way, that's a mishnah also in, that's a mishnah Eilis. The last mishnah was Megayim, that's a mishnah Eilis. Geffen. Gef is relevant. They revised the yain lenazir to teach us the shear of iser of avias yain by nazir. It's interesting. Right, first point out, we don't just mean stand the shear of avias of drinking wine by nazir. Of course, nazir can't drink wine. The lach is a nazir can also have the peels and the grape seeds and other components of the grape. How do you know how you get to a shear of avias of those other particles? It's use displacement. If you would put the amount of whatever amount it takes into a liquid and it would displace the avias, that's the amount that's usher for the nazir to eat. That's when he's over. But what type of liquid? We know the wine or grape juice is more viscosity than water, so it may take less amount to displace water than it does for wine. It's got to be enough to displace that amount of wine, or vias of wine. Okay, that's the shear of Geffen. What's the shear of Te'ina? Figs? That's on Shabbos. When it comes to Itza on Shabbos, the shear of Itza on Shabbos is the shear of a fig that's chashav enough to chayv etzah. What's the shear of rima? What does rima represent? It's non kol klei balabatim shear kirimayim. A klei, let's say a klei is tummy, and then it gets damaged, gets a hole. If the klei is mamish broken, it loses the tumma. If it still retains its usage, then it does not lose the tumma. What's considered big enough breakage, big enough hole that it loses the shame tumma? A hole the size of a pomegranate. But the more, if you stress, if you're medayek, it says klei balabatim, because the salespeople, the storekeepers, they're not selling broken kalim. For them, already even smaller share. But for balabais, once he has it, he keeps a klei to use it as long as it still can hold something. Once it's big enough holes that can fit a riman, then he stops using it. Then it's no longer has the tumma. Okay. Eretz Zay Shemen. What does Zay Shemen come to teach me? What shear? Eretz Yikol Shear Kazayas. Zay Shemen is, of course, olive oil. It's a land that all the shear are Kazayas. We know Kazayas is the most common shear that we have, especially when it comes in terms of food. Kazayas is the most common shear. Ask the Gemara, you darshaning that all shear are Kazayas? We literally just gave a shear of Chita, of Saira, of Geffen, of Te'ena, of Riman. We gave 5 of the shear. What do you tell me that all, it's a land that all the shear are Kazayas? Kol Shear Kazayas? It means all shirim. We have the ones that we just spoke out that are clearly not kazayas. Answer the Gemara. La'ema shirav shirav kazayim. It means rave the shirim kazayim. That's by far the most common shir b'achila is kazayas. But we know of other occasions. Remember, we just spoke out legabe can't stop me. Legabe carrying. We spoke out legabe carrying on Shabbos. The shir is the size of a fig. We spoke out legabe tuma the shirim, and we're about to have legabe yom kippur. We just had him seftes yuma. For the yuma, what's the shir on yom kippur to be every kasevas agasa large. A large date. We're about to have it in the next line. A large date is the shear, not kazayas. Why? Remind ourselves. Because over there by Yom Kippur, it's not a word of eating. It's not just an achila. Tarnabas says, don't eat Yom Kippur. Torah says you should ma'ani yourself as a stira to inoy. What's a stira to inoy? Only when you eat kaseves, agasa, only that amount is enough to destroy the inoy. A kazayas alone is not enough to destroy the inoy. Okay, but the point is, rave shirim are kazayas. Devash, and the devash is honey, we've pointed out before, when it says honey, it doesn't mean bee honey, it means date honey. And where is the share of date relevant? We just spoke this out. But kaseves agasa, Yom Kippurim, the share of kaseves agasa on Yom Kippur. Okay, says Gemara, Alma Dereis Tinidu, but we see that all of these Shurim, all the Zayaminim, represent Shurim on a Dereis level. So why are you telling me that it is a Din Halach Moshe Sinai? It's clearly Dereisa. Answer the Gemara, V'tizbara, Shurimi, Kasivi. Does it say about any of those items? Chita, Sayur, did it say the Shir? We use those as a symbol to bring out a Shir, but it didn't say the Shir. And therefore, says the Gemara, El Halach Zaninu, Ukras Machbamu, Avada, the Shir is still Halach Moshe Sinai. The Pasuk was merely an Asmachta to land on our Shir, but the Shir itself came. It's a remnant to it, but it's Alecha Meshav Sinai. Okay. Ask the Gemara. Chatzitzin deraisininu. Chatzitzin, you tell me, is the din Alecha Meshav Sinai. It's a black-colored pasuk. Where do you see chatzitza? By mikveh deraisa. Tichsiv Recha says besari b'mayim. We darshim besari b'mayim. The bus or the flesh has to be in the mikveh. Shalei dav chayitza b'nei b'mayim. There should be no chatzitza between his body and the water. Anything that's a chatzitza renders the tefila pasul. So it's a black white pasul. Why are you saying it's Halacha Moshe Sinai? Answers the Gemara Kiyasar, Halachas Alasari. The Halachas comes to say that it's a chatzitza even in one's hair, not just on one's body, even in one's hair, that is a chatzitza. Kedrav Rachana, Dam Rav Rachana, Nima Achas Kshur, Chatzitzas. If there's one knotted hair knotted to itself, that's a chatzitza. Shalish, if you have three hairs knotted together in a knot, Ein Chatzitza, it's not a chatzitza. The reason is because we have one hair that's knotted, it's a very tight knot. And that's chatzitza. If you have three hairs that are kind of spun together and knotted, it's not so tight, and therefore water can get through, not a chatzitza. What about two hairs? Not sure. Shtayim, any idea? He doesn't even know. Shtayim, he says, I don't know, I'm not sure what the din is by shtayim. But the point is, there's a concept of chatzitza by hair, and we're saying that's the Halacha Moshe Sinai. The din of chatzitza on one's busser is a pasuk, but on here is the Halacha Moshe Sinai. Yes, the Gemara, not true. Sorry, Nami, there's a pasuk to teach me the chatzitza by hair as well. The chsiv rechas is sorry by mayim. Says the pasuk, he should wash S. Besar b'mayim, he should wash his bus b'mayim. We dash in the word es atafel l'besarei. Es is that which is secondary to the busser, namely umayniu sarei. What is that talking about? The hair. So we have a pasuk that we dash in the hair as well. Yivaita don't need. It's not lachem b'shem sinai. It's a black white pasuk. Answer the gemara. Yes, elchasa l'chadur b'itzak. The lachem b'shem sinai is for b'itzak's din. The amra b'itzchav tapav amad beis dvar teira rubei makbar love chaytes. Minat teira. What's a chatzitza when someone is covered with rave of his body and he's makbid? That's a chatzitza. However, if you're missing any of those criteria, if it's not Riv's body, or he's not Makbin, not a Chatzitza, on a Torah level. Says the Gemara, Dvar Torah, Rubi Makbin Lov Chaitzitz. V'shein Makbin Lov, he's not Makbin on it, even if it's Riv's body, ain't a Chaitzitz, which is a very, very unique situation. How often does someone have something that covers most of his body, and he's not Makbin on it? Okay, but okay. Rubi, if he's ain't a Makbin Lov, ain't a Chaitzitz, the Gazra Rubi, Shein Makbin, the Chachamu Geizer, when something's covering Riv's body, even though he's not Makbin, it's still going to be a problem. A chasisa midrabanam shem rubei hamakbin, al rubei hamakbin, al miyutei hamakbin, and they also a geizer on the miyut that he's makbin, mishem rubei a miyut that he's makbin, which is miyut's not a problem normally, but if he's makbin, even though it's a miyut, well geizer again mishem rubei makbin, a geizer at rubei makbin. So really, matara, you need to have both rubei and makbin, but they were geizer that both miyut hamakbin or rubei shein hamakbin are both going to be. Are going to be an issue. This is Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching. We're saying the Halacha Moshe Sinai actually is the source for this idea. Ask the Gemara. V'ligzunami al miyut shein makbid. Once the Chama making gzeira, then let him make gzeira b'chlal on a miyut shein makbid. It won't go all the way. If you make a gzeira on a miyut and you make a gzeira on a rubai shein makbid, why not make a gzeira when you have both deficiencies, where it's both miyut and shein makbid? The Gemara says mishum miyut makbid. Make a gzeira on a miyut shein makbid unto a case of miyut makbid. Or inami b'shem to rubai she'ena makbid, or gzeira onto a case of rubai which you're not makbid. Answer the Gemara. He goofed gzeira, famous concept. Va'anah nekem v'nigz gzeira gzeira. In itself is gzeira. We're not going to make a double gzeira. Once it itself is gzeira, we're not going to make a gzeira le gzeira. Okay. What's interesting is our Gemara is saying very clearly that this din of chatzitza is minatera only rubai and makbid, and they came along and they added that the chamu gzeira ve gzeira lechara means that's not stam regular gzeira. It means also there's a lachem b'shem sinai. No, I'm saying this wrong. Dvar Torah means the din of Rubai Umakbid, that itself, Tap Rashi the page, was Halacha Moshe Sinai. The fact that it needs to be both Rubai and Makbid, that we knew from Halacha Moshe Sinai. And the Rabbanan came along and Mogezer that even if you only have Rubai, you only have Makbid, either or, that's enough to be a problem. Dvar Torah, you need both. How do I know? There's no Pasuk. That I know from Halacha Moshe Sinai. But Argamar comes out clearly that if you don't have either or, Rubai or Makbid, meaning if it's a Miyach, ain't a Makbid, not a problem. So if a woman has We speak against Phoenicia because that's the main tefillah derais that we have today, right? A woman has some finger nail polish on her finger, and she goes to mikveh. We know we absolutely say you have to take it off to chitzitza. Shouldn't be a problem. It's a miyat sheina makpid. A miyat sheina makpid shouldn't be a problem. Yet the lachah is b'makpid, and the Ramah brings it. The Ramah brings it l'maisa. So it's a big discussion in the version why the Ramah is saying if the Agamar says clearly it's only a problem if it's either rubay sheina makpid or miyat hamakpid, one or the other. Ruba miyat she'ena makbid is not an issue, yet there are more paskins, and that's where Noyik Lamaisa that is an issue. What's the idea behind it? I can't discuss it. We are very short on time, but it is a mitzvah. We have time next, I will get back to that. Okay, mechitzin hadamarin. We said that mechitzin alacha mesh mesinai. What's that referring to? Referring to our din of sukkah, that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high, and a schach has to be above that. You have to have 10 tefachim height, and above that can be the schach. By the way, this is a mishmak. We pointed out back on the Beis, we pointed out that there were three reasons in the Mishnah. We said three reasons why a sukkah that is not ten tefachim high is possible. We had the Meiri who says it's not a normal dwelling place. It's like a diras ruchah. We said, which was really the Gemara used that lashon. I think it was Avdalit or thereabouts. Maybe Dav Gimel Beis. The Gemara used the lashon diras ruchah. We said it's very shmak from Meiri. We spoke out for the Ritva. It's not called schach unless it's above ten tefachim. It's felt. It doesn't have a shame schach unless it's above ten tefachim. We spoke out for the Ra'ah that it's not considered a mechitza. The walls are not called walls unless you have ten tefachim. So this. We spoke at then that the Meiri's Pshat fit very well with the Gemara earlier. This Gemara fits very well with the Ra and with the Ritva that was saying that's a Lacha Mesh Mesina, that's not called a Mechitza, that's Mamash the Ra, you don't have walls, but even according to the Ritva, you don't have a shame of a Schach, it's not called being Seichich on a proper area. Stam is a bunch of mats, no, middle of nowhere, it's not called a Schach. It's only a Schach if it's on a over a Shus, it's only considered a Schach over a Shus if it has Ten Tvachim, if it's very well with this Gemara over here, that it's a Lacha Mesh Mesina. But the Gemara asks, we only give a Lacha Mesh Mesina as a third option. Because the Kruvim didn't work, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who held that the Tefachim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tefachim of the Kelim, were five Tefachamas, not six Tefachamas. But according to our mayor, you had a source from Kruvim ready. You had a source from Kruvim, so you don't need Alach Mesh Mesinai. So according to him, what is this Alach Mesh Mesinai? According to our mayor now, what's Alach Mesh Mesinai? They're referring to by Mechitza, says Gemara. Hanich Rabbi Yehuda, you say Mechitza of the Araisa are Alach Mesh Mesinai. That's all good, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who needed this as a source for Sukkah. Elder mayor, Michael, what does it mean that Mechitza are, what does it mean when we say Mechitza are Alach Mesh Mesinai? Gemara says, don't worry, there's plenty more. Kiyasa Elchus, so you know Alach Mesh Mesinai, but Mechitza are? The good, the din of good, we pointed this out, this the idea before already, right? You mentioned the other day, the din of, very good. Good Asik or good Achis, that means the wall extends upwards or downwards. I don't have the full wall, but extends upwards or downwards. That's good Asik is upwards, good Achis is downwards, or Lava, the din of Lava, if something's within three tefachim, is considered as if the space is completed, as if it's not empty. Or the Deif and Akuma, of course, the din we have back on the Talad of Deif and Akuma, the bent wall, all those are Alach Mesh Mesinai. That's plenty of other Mechitza, so to speak, Alach Mesh Mesinai, even if Sukkah itself, the overall din of Sukkah was not. Says the Gemara now, this is a simple Gemara, goes rather quickly. She'ela Shal Shtefana, as we said in the Mishnah, a Sukkah that doesn't have three walls is possible. Tanar Rabban, when we say Sukkah has to have three walls, Shtayim Kilchasan, two walls have to be proper Kilchasa. What's Kilchasa, by the way? What did we say from we pass like Beshamai? Hilchasa means seven Tvachim, right? So you need two walls that are seven tefachim each, and the third wall shlishis afil tefach. The third wall can even be one tefach. That's sufficient. That's the Tanakama Shita. Reb Shimon Eimer shalosh kilchasa revius afil tefach. No, you need three proper walls of seven tefachim each. Three walls of seven tefach each, and then the fourth wall could be even a tefach. Ask the Gemara b'mayka mitzvuki. What's the machoikis? The Gemara is going to give four or five explanations in the machoikis. Let's go five. I think it's five total. Says the Gemara. Rabban Tzarviyesh in the Masayris. This is a famous idea. What does it mean, Yesh in the Masayris? It means you go based on the way it was, the way it's written. The way it's written, it's funny enough, Masayris means the Masayra of what the words are, the way it's written. You darshan based on the way the words are written, whereas Rosh Hashanah darshan is based on the way it's pronounced, Mikra, the way it's pronounced. The Mark explains. Rabban Asav Yesh in the Masayris, the Pasuk says Basukis, Basukis, Basukis. It says three times Basukis, but notice the first two times Basukis is missing the Vav. It's chaser. It's missing a Vav. Only the third time does it have a Vav. Therefore, he darshan. So, Rekan Arba. Basukis, one. Basukas two, and then Basukas with the Vav is another two. It counts as because you have Basukas and the Vav, so you have another two. You have a total of four. We have four words here for a drasha of Sukkah. What do we say? Harekan Arba, Dalchad Lugafay, one of the words Basukas are needed just to tell me the overall mitzvah of Sukkah we're talking about. And then I'm left with three. Pashtu Tlas, I'm left with three. Three represents three walls. Shtayim Kilchasan, I know I have to have two walls Kilchasan. The Garte, the Asa Hilchasa, the Garz Lashlishas. And here it's interesting, we didn't use this as an example of Alach Mesh Mesinai, but we take it for granted that there was Alach Mesh Mesinai saying that last wall can only has to be a tefach, doesn't have to be the full shear, so I know I have three walls, two of them have to be Kilchasa, and one of them could be even a tefach. That is the Rabbanah Shita. Fine. B'Shimon Zavar, B'Shimon argues, he says, yeshi in the mikra. We go based on how it's pronounced, not based on how it's written, and therefore makes no difference if it's chaser or malay. Basukas. I have three times more basukas. I treat all three of them as if they're malay. So I have six, because every basukas is the word plus the extra vav, even though it doesn't have the extra vav to them. So I have basukas. Harikan shesh, I have six. Tal chad gufei, take out one for the allusion to the general idea of sukkah, which takes out not one, takes out two actually, because each basukas was two. So take out one word basukas, I'm down to four. Pashal arba, I have four walls left. I have an allusion to four walls. Shalosh kilchasa, I need three to be kilchasa of seventh bachim, long, and asa hilchasa, the halchmash is there comes. The garate, the revius, that the fourth wall could be, but kumatepach, it could be not the tepach. It's interesting. The first one discussed, it's actually, I think, a rush in. I want to say Beitza. It's getting weird now. That says that Hilchasa typically comes to be Mekel. Hilchasa comes to be Mekel. We're going to have in this Gemara cover in 2 lines from now, a tzad that the Hilchasa is the Chumra. But interestingly enough, Hilchasa typically comes to be Mekel, not to be Machmer. So far, this general assumption that the Hilchasa is coming to say that the last wolf could be less than a Tepach, that's a Kula, that fits with this Klal. It came up early in Daf, actually. They speak it out early in Daf as well. It came up early in Daf, this idea. Okay. Bibai Zayim, Pshat number two. What's the Machalis Klal? Mayesh Lim, the Mikra, everyone agrees, go based on how it's pronounced. So therefore, they both agree, you have Basukas three times. Hachabaka Mephizon, what's the Machalis over there? Mar Sever, Schacha Baikra. Does Schach itself need a Pasuk? One says yes. Umar Sever, Schacha Baikra. There's a Machalis whether or not you need to use up one of the words for the Schach. One says Schach needs a Pasuk, and one says Schach doesn't need a Pasuk. Meaning, they both agree you need one Pasuk to be illusion for Sukkah, in general. But then the question is, once I know that it's kind of Sukkah, how many walls can I learn out of my, I have four left, right? One basukas is for the mitzvah of Sukkah. I have four left. Can I use all four for the walls? Because Schach doesn't need its own illusion. If I use all four for the walls, I have three proper walls, plus one last wall is only a tefach. Or if I need one to refer to the Schach, that's the Chacham Shita, so I only have three left, and therefore I'm left with two walls, and the third wall could be a tefach. That's Pshat number two. Pshat number three. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go based on how it's written, not based on how it's pronounced. And over here, my sorry right now, by the way, if anyone wants to run out, we'll be finished in 2 minutes. Here's what I was saying before. This could be exception to the rule. That halacha b'Shul Sinai is to say that last wall needs to be less. It needs to be only one tefach. It's being megareya. Whatever amount of walls you have, the last one could be only one tefach. Umar Sever, that's the sheet of the Chamim. Umar Sever, Reb Shimon took it the other way. He held, I know I need three walls. And the halacha b'Shul Sinai is not saying, I need three walls, and the third wall could be only tefach. Adrava, it's coming to add that I need a fourth wall of a tefach. It's coming to be machmer, again, against the general klal. Ligara, Umar Sever, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, Kiasa Hilchasa, the Hilchasa comes, Lohisif to add. Vibay's Ema. Second last pshat, when the machalik is kula makiyasa hilchasa everyone agrees what the hilchasa come for lagareya, like the usual hilchasa machine comes to be makareya, mean to make less, make it easier to make it only make whatever walls you need to make one of them diminish down to tefach. Veishem b'mesiris, and we go based on how it's written, which is only giving me four in the first place. V'achal, the question is, can I double dip the same pasuk that's used to teach me sukkah? Can I use it for a drush for the wall as well or not? Hakab darshan tchilas kamifugi. That what? Marasav darshan tchilas. Reb Shimon knows you darshan tchilas. The same pasuk used to teach me sukkah in general could also be used to teach me one of the walls. And therefore he has four walls. And the halacha b'Shul Sinai comes and says the fourth one could be only a tefach. Marasav the chamhold ain't darshan tchilas. You can't darshan tchilas. Meaning once you need the pasuk for sukkah in general, it can't be used to teach me one of the walls. So I'm still left with three walls, and one of those three walls can be diminished to tefach. So I need two and a bit. Whereas opposed to Reb Shimon, who holds you need three and a bit. Last line, Rav Masna Amar, Taimid Reb Shimon, the reason for Reb Shimon is from the following, only reason for Reb Shimon, how do you know you need a fourth wall? Because the pasuk describes a sukkah, and it describes it as a protection from the rain, from the elements. And you can only have that protection if you have a somewhat of a wall, on, you have to have a wall on three sides, and somewhat on the fourth side, the pasuk says, the sukkah tiyel sel yayman, mecharev ulamachsa ulamister, mizerem umimater. How can it be protection unless you have something on all four sides? And therefore, that's why Reb Shimon holds you need four walls. Then agree to this drasha. We'll pause over here, pick it up Mitzvah Shem on Sunday. We need to Sunday, we'll try to do a full daf, and then we'll be up to date. Have a wonderful Shabbos.